content is king. Always be writing, always be prepared, because when the pandemic ends, and even though it seems like there is no end in sight, there will be. And when the world opens up again, we will need comedy more than ever.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jared Easley. I'm one of your hosts. And joining me today, of course, is Miss Christine. Miss Christine, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm behaving. And we have a guest co-host today. Why don't you give her a shout out?
Shout out to Sarah Slurpee in the building.
Sarah's unmuted. I like that. Hey, Sarah.
Welcome back. Sarah was a guest just recently, and she's like, hey, I had so much fun. Why don't I invite myself to guest co-host? I'm just kidding. She didn't.
She's like, I want to hang out with the cool kids.
Well, maybe it was because of today's guest, because we have such a cool person. You know, maybe
yes, she's like,
hey, you know, I want in on
I
this.
Heard his
and rightfully so. All right. So today's guest is Taron Von Grazi. I hope I said that right. Von Gosry. Yes. And I'm told, Taron, that you're the Elon Musk of comedy and Fresh Prince of Persia. He's a comedian, spokesperson, radio personality, event host. Thank you for being with us today, Taron.
Jared, just to let you know, you mispronouncing my name is actually racist. I just want to let you know, it's not me. It's the way the world works now.
It is. And there is no defense. I deserve to be canceled. And
you are definitely going to get canceled. Actually, I already called Louis C.K. on Spite Dial. I was like, guess what? You have a new roommate, buddy.
Yeah, you have a new roommate. Me and Louis go back. But yeah, so maybe Sarah and Christine should take this over.
Okay. So what's up, Taron? I know you have a birthday coming up this Sunday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah.
Now, February 4th, you had an interactive comedy show. How does that work and what does that entail?
So on February 4th, because I'm not a big birthday person, I actually only care about my birthday to further my professional and social standing. So because of that, I had a huge show at the Laugh Factory. Usually my Laugh Factory show for my birthday is the event of the year. Lines down the block, sold out show, amazing drop-in lineups, nobody knows who. But this year, because of the pandemic, you can't stop. You just have to pivot. We pivoted and did a virtual online show. And my guest this year included the incomparable Mr. Craig Robinson, who you should know from The Office and Hot Tub Time Machine, Eric Griffin from Workaholics, Max Amini. It's just an all-star. And then I also had some of my favorite comedians, Crystal Marie, whose birthday it also was, Takara Williams, Leah Lamar,
nice,
Melissa Shoshai, and Renee Vaca, who's an up-and-coming comedian. So it was like a fun time. And then Finesse Mitchell from Saturday Night Live stopped in and just killed it to finish off the night. People got their money's worth.
And not only did they get their money's worth, you got to name drop, and that's dope.
Right.
So
yeah, that's actually the best part. And while we were there, Chris Tucker and Eddie Murphy stopped by, which was actually very cool.
Real?
They heard it. No, but I just wanted to name drop.
Well played. We wouldn't have known any better. We
were right. Like, oh, you should have just kept going with
That's
it.
That's how Taron rolls.
That's actually how Clubhouse rolls. So I can just say whatever. If you guys don't know about Clubhouse, I'm sure you'll learn. But yes. if you thought F-boys were out in these streets lying in person, wait till you meet them on Clubhouse.
It's a
whole new brand of lies.
Yeah. Taron, can I ask you a question?
I would love to.
Where were you born? Like, where did you grow up?
So, well, I appreciate Sarah being a CIA agent.
Give us all the goods.
I thought you were going to give her a nickname.
I just need the last three of your social.
Exactly.
You know, your mother's maiden name.
She was a Nigerian prince emailing me right now. Like, I'm not really comfortable with this, but I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. So I'm a Washington, D.C. kid, but my name's Tehran. My father's Iranian and my mother's black. And Tehran is the capital of Iran. So they were like, being half Iranian, half black, not enough oppression. Let's add Tehran. Like they.
Oh my God.
They wanted to push this. Yeah, they wanted to see how far systemic racism could go. Like, this is not.
You only had so many career paths you could follow based on choices that were not your own. So
career paths.
They want to make your flight risks real risky.
Exactly. There's so many flights I can take. Like, yeah. This is.
Oh God. Like,
oh my goodness. Well, not taking some of those flights is probably keeping you free from COVID, and that might be a good thing.
Yeah, is it though? At this point, is it? I feel like, honestly, Jared, to be real, if I died from COVID, and you know, my heart goes out to all the people that have died. Yes. It's actually very sad. But if I die from COVID, then I don't actually have to live up to my potential, which is amazing. Because then, like, because like, I'm never going to reach full potential, right? And people are going to be like, you're such a failure. But if I died now, and life honestly is very expensive. Like, for all the money we're paying, it's not fun enough for this. Like, like, honestly, for me, that's me personally. You know what I'm saying? For me personally.
Well, I'm sure on your bucket list somewhere, being on this podcast was one of your achievements, which now you can, you know.
He can write it off his bucket list.
That's right.
And exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Don't starve the doubts.
And he can have a guest co-host that can't be named.
Yeah.
He showed up and asked a CIA type question.
100%. Sarah, like, yeah. Let's be very honest. Slurpee, that's not even a real last name. There's a girl on OnlyFans right now that's like, I wouldn't use that name.
My OnlyFans? Send me today.
Are you on?
What's your OnlyFans?
Okay. Sarah, I'm looking you up.
No. I'm just kidding.
I mean, see, I told you Jared was going to get canceled today. I told you.
I got $9. I can do this.
Yo.
Right. Okay, so moving on. Taran, best comedy show you've been to?
Best comedy show I've ever been to. Let me give you a scenario and paint a perfect picture. And this is something that really happened. So I'm at the Laugh Factory. I have a Laugh Factory show every single Monday and Thursday. This is, of course, pre-COVID, where it was a very happening show. I'm at my own show on a Monday night. So it's not even like it's not Thursday closer to the weekend. It is a Monday night. I'm at my own show. I get a text from Dave Chappelle. Come to the store. I want you to go up. Now, when Dave Chappelle texts you, you got to go. So I leave my own show and go to the Comedy Store down the street, right? Dave Chappelle comes to my Laugh Factory a lot. But this time, I graced the Comedy Store, went in. Up to that point, they had seen some comedians, but no one who's a master of their craft, right? It was a lot of newer comedians. So the audience they were in it. They were a great audience, but they were a little sore from all the other comedians. I went up and had a great set. I had a great set and maybe even brought a little bit of life back to the room. After I went up, Kevin Hart went up. And when I say Kevin Hart went up, he was practicing he's practicing for another special he was doing. He did like 20 minutes. Then Chris Rock went up. And then after Chris Rock, so at this point, the crowd is just, some people had left. Like, the crowd is going nuts. They have no idea what's happening to them right now, right? Mm-hmm. And then Cat Williams went up.
Goodness.
Chris Tucker stopped by and went up. And then Dave Chappelle, who at that point had been the enigma that he was even more, went up and did like 2-3 hours of comedy. Then Talib Kweli stopped by and they freestyled. So this was a one night. And at this point, I'm looking at it like, what is this life I live right now? Like, what is this? What is going on with me? And people like showing me love on stage and just being, I'm surrounded by greatness. And that's when I just was like, man, I need to die from COVID soon. Like, this is never, like, sheesh, I'm never going to hit any of this stuff. These are pinnacles, these people. But yeah, so I'm in a room with, you know, $3 billion trying to do comedy.
Jeez. Well, you did it. Yeah, I mean, what a validation. I think
I'm very impressive.
Yeah.
Now you list a lot of names. Like, if you had to pick one, who would you say was your favorite comedian?
Chappelle. Listen, Chappelle is the best comedian. Chappelle's the best comedian. He's the GOAT. He's greatest of all time. And I think that if you got, and there are amazing comedians from Richard Pryor to Wanda Sykes.
Yes.
There are amazing comedians. Dave Chappelle is the best comedian. And even that night, all these comedians went up and did great. There was a lady in the front row whose eyes literally exploded. Like, she was like, oh my God. And she just, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. Okay. Dave Chappelle, all these comedians did time and they all did time and they were all very good. Dave Chappelle did 2.5 hours like it was nothing. But here's the thing. Sure. He wasn't just mind blowingly funny for 2.5 hours, but there were 10 or 20 minutes of his 2.5 hours that were better than all the rest of us combined. And that's who Dave Chappelle is. And that's why he's the GOAT, in my opinion. Of course, like beauty and art, comedy is subjective. However, there is this finite distinction once you hit greatness. Once you hit greatness, it's who's better, LeBron or Jordan? That's a personal opinion. But you know LeBron and Jordan are greatness. They're both better than Rudy McGruber. So there's no question about that, right? And that's where we're looking at with Dave Chappelle. He's the greatest of all time.
I don't want to take away from Rudy, though. I feel like Rudy, you know, did his thing.
Yeah, he did his thing. Clay Thompson agrees. My buddy Clay Thompson agrees.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, how would you push this above and beyond? I've been watching comedians on the VR world, and I'm crazy amazed at how they're doing this. But do you choose Xbox, PlayStation, VR? What's your go-to fun time?
You know, it's interesting. I have never been a video game person ever since I was a kid. And my parents tried to push me on this normal thing. Like, they would get me Nintendo and Sega and PlayStation and whatever was the hype thing at the time. They tried to push it on me. They even got me a Nintendo Wii. Like, they were like, come on, kids, this is what kids do.
Right.
Kids are normal. Kids don't read books and watch TV and, like, dissect it and then... The only normal thing that I kind of did was basketball. Other than that, I was too good for the kids. Like, I was like, oh, you peasant. Like,
out of your time.
Whoa, damn, kids, son.
You think I'm kidding. In second grade, I definitely got in trouble for calling kids peasants. And
oh, no.
Wow.
And definitely made a teacher retire after she called me an asshole in class.
Oh.
Yeah. Definitely. Because I used to correct her all the time. She was trying to teach. And I'm like, are you even qualified, Miss Wilson? Because you obviously don't know what you're doing. And I used to correct her all the time. She called me an asshole in class. The class goes ballistic. It's a class of second graders. She's like in frustration. She leaves. The school counselor comes in. And then they call my parents. My dad is a Persian dad, got the accent the whole nine. He thinks I'm in trouble. And he's like, what did you do? And we get to the principal's office and the principal's trying to explain to him that the teacher called me an asshole. And he's not getting in. She's like, he called him an a-hole. And she's like, what is a hole? Where's the hole? And what did he put the hole? And then she's like, no, she called him an asshole. And then he was like, you can't call your teacher asshole. And then the principal was like, no. The teacher called him an asshole. And my dad was like, oh, yeah, because he's asshole. We tell him all the time. He's an asshole. Why is he doing this?
Defending the teacher.
100%. I used to give them a hard time, too. My poor parent.
I think now, like, if a teacher did that, they wouldn't get to retire. They might actually get fired.
Yeah.
100% now.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, like, now, hot teachers can't even sleep with students anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, we've progressed so much as a society.
Taran, there is one of the three of the co-hosts today that is a homeschool teacher, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. You know, I have a lot of respect for teachers, and I hope that the pandemic has taught the world how valuable teachers are, because while we thought this whole time they were teaching children, they're actually domesticating wild animals. Like, you send your kids. That's why you want your kids. Exactly. You want your kids out of the home. Like, I don't even have kids of my own. But my nieces and nephew, my sister's been dropping them off here. And I'm just like, I'm over all of this. Like, this is the best sex ed class ever. I'm celibate now. Like, I don't even want to chance it. Like, we're good.
Well, you're not playing Xbox or PlayStation or VR, and you're staying celibate.
He's reading a book.
Yes. Well, I was thinking maybe you might be playing Candy Crush on the phone. No games at all?
I'm not a Candy Crush. You know, I'll tell you.
How can we convince you to play it, Taran? How can we get you on the dark side?
You can't. You catch me playing chess on the phone. You want to know? During the pandemic, I tried. I even bought a PlayStation to be like, oh, look, I have a PlayStation, and I bought a bunch of games. When I say I have utilized that a total of maybe 5 minutes, and I was just like, I'm good. Like, I just can't. It's just not my thing. I tried to, you know, kill people in Grand Theft Auto 15 or whatever.
15?
Whatever it's on. You know what I'm saying? And then I tried to, like, live my childhood NFL dreams with Madden, you know. That's so realistic at this point. Just go outside and play. Like, why are we?
Seriously.
Just go outside.
You found yourself driving the speed limit in Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
I mean, my thing is, I played basketball, but I don't even watch basketball. Like, it's about to be the Super Bowl, and I'm going to watch it, I'm sure. But I'm only doing it because it's a social activity, even though I really don't like social activities like that. I'm doing it because, like, oh, this is what we do. But honestly, I don't watch sports. I don't play video games. There's so much going on in life that's way more entertaining. for me. So
give me like 24 hours to change your mind. I think I can totally get you. There's virtual basketball. There's virtual shooting. We got this. And you can stand up on stage and be a comedian. I think we can do this.
That could be a fun video. Taran tries gaming.
I don't even like comedy that much, Sarah. Like, you don't understand.
He's like, I hate everything.
Have you ever watched the Avengers? Have any of you ever watched the Avengers, the first one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So remember the whole concept of Bruce Banner not turning into the Hulk. And of course, in the previous movies, he's had, you know, being angry, he turns into the Hulk and it's uncontrollable. So they keep asking him, how do you keep the Hulk at bay? What do you do? How do you do this? And finally, at the end, he goes, that's my secret. I'm always angry. And he turns into the Hulk immediately. That's my secret. I'm always annoyed. Like, my baseline is just I'm annoyed at everything all the time. And that's what actually makes me happy.
So are you a Karen?
I am not a Karen, Miss Christine. And that was racist. I'm going to tell you that's racist. Jared?
I'm going to mute someone. Christine. Yeah.
Yeah. Call someone.
I don't know. Taryn and Karen.
I figured you'd watch the Super Bowl just to see the cutouts in the stands. Yeah. Like I heard that people, like celebrities, are saying, "Hey, I want my cutout to have a better view." And it's like that to me was kind of interesting. They're not even watching the game, but
they want to make sure they're cut out in the right seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. I had the opportunity to be at the Super Bowl when the Rams got there, and I used to do social media and announcements for the Rams. And so that was the energy live is obviously much more. I love greatness. So I love the fact that Tom Brady is back in the Super Bowl with a new team and his supermodel wife. And he's just being that guy. And I love everything that's going on. And the Chiefs are there with this amazing young quarterback making it happen. I love that storyline.
Yeah.
But, you know, when whoever wins the Super Bowl, does that cure cancer? No, I'm good. Like, I get it. I understand.
You said you're annoyed all the time, so we'll annoy you with another question. Finish the sentence where I begin a sentence and you complete it. If you ever go to the Laugh Factory, blank.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
Wear pants.
Yes, that's
you'd be surprised how many people try to come into the Laugh Factory and don't have pants on. You will be actually surprised. This has happened several times during the open mic on Tuesday nights, where people who want to be open micers, sometimes they're not all sound in mind and body, and some don't wear pants because they think that's funny, and it is illegal. So wear pants.
What, like Daisy Dukes? What are we talking? Just
nothing? I'm talking about like no
jorts.
No. I'm talking about like,
yes, the jorts stay on during the set.
Briefs, like briefs, not even boxer briefs. Briefs.
Tidy whities.
100%.
You can't unsee that. Yeah.
Make them really comfy.
Not the way to make your name.
Yeah. Tidy whities are never comfy. Like any. I'll give you. You guys want red flags, Miss Christine and Sarah. If you meet a man who wears tidy whities like a grown man, just know you're about to be murdered. Just understand that he's about to tell you to put the soap in the pail in the bucket, like
the lotion in the
basket. You put the lotion in the basket.
It puts the lotion on his skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Exactly. Like it's going down that way. It is going to happen that way. So just know, a grown man. I'm not talking about like, sure, they're little kids. Of course, little kids. Look at the Batman underwear. Oh, my nephew is so cute. Oh, he's a cutie. God. He's a cutie patootie. But if my nephew grows up into a man and still wearing, I'd be like, yo, bro, I'm calling the cops. Like, I'm calling Sarah. She's a CIA agent.
Sarah.
What kind of style underwear are you wearing?
Real men wear boxer briefs. Now, if you want to be like, I actually wear Puma boxer briefs, and I'll tell you specifically why. They have this, like, this, I don't know, spandexy, latexy, like, It's like such a great material. It's just like
taking notes here. This is,
yeah, it's just it's like it's so great. You just it's so freeing. It's just amazing.
Uma,
you know.
Okay.
Enough about draws. Let's talk music. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Best concert I've ever been to. I will tell you this. The best concert I've ever been to, there are two, tied at first place. One concert was my man Drizzy had a concert. And this is when he, you know, this is, I don't know, I was young. This is 2000, let's say 2009 or 2010. And he was like doing his songs and then he would sing to every girl in the audience. He was like, and you over there in the blue dress. I know you're pressed. And he would go through. And at one point, I found myself being like, Drizzy, I'm wearing a blue dress. Like, I was.
Include me. Yeah.
I was like, please, please. It was really good, right? I was very impressed. I was very impressed. But the best concert I've ever been to. Now, there used to be this thing in Washington, D.C. area called the HF Festival. There was a radio station called HFS, and it had all the, it was like the rock station. But they had this one concert where every rock legend, like to be in the making. It had Rage Against the Machine, Eminem. What's that group called? What is that group called? They wear the mask. I hate when I
Daft Punk. Daft
no,
Gwar.
Gwar.
Slipknot.
It had Slipknot. Slipknot.
There you go. Oh, nice.
I should have figured that. Yeah.
Yeah. Slipknot, Limp Bizkit. It was all in one concert, and I was like, "Sheesh." You know, maybe. I'm white. Like, I
mean, energy. It makes sense. You're wearing Puma briefs. That's total 90s. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's white in some way.
Let me clear up the Puma briefs thing. Puma briefs are amazing because they are also so expensive online and yet so inexpensive at Ross Dress for Less, which is the best place ever.
Our pretend sponsor, Ross Dress for Less.
Please wash them before you wear them.
For sure. Like, one leg might be shorter than the other, but it does not matter. Okay? It does not matter. Because Ross Dress for Less is so good and so inexpensive that Dress for Less is in its title. Do you understand how cocky you have to be like, yeah, you dress? Nah, we dress for less. Like, that's real.
You seem like the kind of guy that makes friends at Ross. Is that true?
Ross is my place. Yo, Ross is my go-to spot. Like, I go there to rummage and hang out. Like, I'm like, hey, what's your name? Hey, Carlita. Like, I love it.
Hey, Sarah. Yeah, exactly. I get it.
Okay. So do you think there's Rosses in more than just here? Because I feel like we're pretty cheap here. I don't know. For instance, have you ever been to Tehran, Iran?
I have been to Tehran, Iran.
Is there a Ross there?
Sarah, CIA, Slurpee. Yes, I have. Okay, and it was legal at the time.
And so you got on the flight. So.
Yeah, how'd you get on the flight?
On the flight home, the return flight.
Yeah, every time I fly back to the United States, I swear, like going to other countries, I'm so confident. But coming back to the United States with a U.S. passport and birth certificate, I'm still 50-50. They let me back in.
Do you remember this date? I need another date. I'm taking that time.
Exactly. Every single time I come back to the United States and I get randomly selected every time. Like if I won the lottery, as much as I'm randomly quote unquote selected, I would be a quadrillionaire. It's amazing.
Perhaps that's a business. That's a good business.
For people that aren't as familiar with your comedy career, Toronto, can you talk a little bit about what got you into that and how you got motivated to say, okay, I'm going to go in this direction and try this out?
So this is actually an interesting story. So I didn't want to be a comedian. Actually, when I started off my life, that's why I was like, I went to these concerts and things. I wanted to be Puff Daddy. I wanted to be this music mogul who didn't do anything, but at the same time did everything. I thought that Puff Daddy's career was just immaculate, right? I wanted to be Puff Daddy, and I was going to school. I always value, and I still do value education. So I got my master's. I was in law school actually, and I had artists that I was managing and everything, and some have gone on to make it, and everything was collapsing. The artists were kind of self-imploding, like every manager or anyone behind the scenes knows. And I was like, wow, I have to change. This can't happen. It's too much. as I'm doing this, I'm watching Fuse Network, which is Canadian MTV. I don't even know why I had Fuse Network, but I was always just consuming pop culture. And I'm watching Fuse Network, and there was this comedian hosting a show. His name is Mike E. Winfield. Very funny comedian. Light-skinned black guy. Bro, amazing, contagious smile. Just funny. He would introduce music videos and do comedy. And I literally saw this guy, and I thought, man, if he can do this, I can do this too. And I figured out he was performing at the Laugh Factory that weekend. So I flew to LA from Washington, D.C., and went to the Laugh Factory to meet him and watch him perform and pick his brain. I never actually met him that day. I met the owner of the Laugh Factory, who I convinced to let me have a show because I was a comedian. He did not know at the time that I lived in Washington, D.C. He did not know that I had never really performed comedy in my life. I just thought that I could do this. I put together a show for that Monday night. It was packed. I did time. I was probably horrible, but it doesn't matter. He never came to the show. He wasn't able to make it, and he just saw the numbers and gave me a show every Monday. And from then on, for 9 months and 3 weeks, I flew back and forth every single Monday to Los Angeles from Washington, D.C. as I was finishing law school so that I could do my show. And I would get to LAX at 8:35, take two buses to get to the Laugh Factory on Sunset by 10:03, then take two buses back to the airport by 1:45 to get on the flight, the red eye back, to make my Tuesday class. Wow. And that happened for, and if Virgin America wasn't $99 each way and adding points, which meant that every third flight for me was free, I would have never been able to do this. So it was ambition meets motivation meets preparation meets opportunity with a lot of love. And that's how I got in.
And a little bit of craziness.
That's dedication.
No statues in the world are for sane people. Everybody that you relish or admire are all insane. Insane enough to think that they can do something or change the world. That's how it works. That delusion is part of grandeur. That delusion is part of greatness. I can do this. I will do this. I am the one. That's actually why when you watch artists win an award, they always forget who to thank, because in their hearts, in their heads, they don't need to thank anybody. They should only thank themselves. They feel like no matter who was there to help them interchangeably, they would have made it there anyway on that stage. The only people they have set are God and their parents, because mostly those are the only two. They've been practicing the speech in the mirror their whole life. So now they forget Bob, Steve, Tim, Carol, you know, and they forget the names. But that's why. It's that delusion of grandeur. A little bit, not too much. Not, I think I'm Jesus and walking in the middle of the street. I'm talking about just enough.
Oh, I met you on Clubhouse. How do you feel Clubhouse has helped people in the industry such as yourself?
Actually, Clubhouse is a great pivot. Again, whether we like it or not, the pandemic is here. Whether we like it or not, for all the people who try to, it's not real. It's very real. It's very real. And anyone who's gone through COVID knows how real it is. The pandemic is here, and Clubhouse gives us this opportunity to interact, to network. For example, I met Miss Christine on Clubhouse. Yay. And now I'm here with you, all of you who are amazing, right? So it's network, and it also gives us a chance to connect and practice our craft, especially as stand-up comedians. Practice our craft. We have several shows. We do several rooms that are comedy rooms. I do a rap monologue room with a comedian named Wilonius. I do Comedy Guru, Ask Us Anything with comedian Ron G, where people ask us advice on their life. And they've got questions, we've got answers. They may not like our answers, but we give them anyway. I'm watching Leah Lamar and Nicole Benham create this comedy platform, and I've done their shows several times. Like, there's so many outlets, and Clubhouse is the most efficient, prolific networking tool that exists, period. It's better than LinkedIn. It's better than Instagram. It's better than Facebook. It really has all of those qualities and more.
All right. So when's the Clubhouse meetup, though? And can I ask you to bring a Persian dish? And what would you bring?
If I brought a Persian dish, it would be korma sabzi. Now, if you understand, korma sabzi is amazing. If you don't like korma sabzi, you're just a bad person. Like, historically, a lot of people don't know this. The people that have not liked korma sabzi, Judas, who of course betrayed Jesus. Hitler. Hitler did not like Hormuzabzi. Big known distaste for Hormuzabzi and Jewish people, which is a thing a lot of people don't know. And of course, some of the people that stormed the Capitol. They
Donald Trump won't eat it.
What's in this?
He
dish?
May or may not, but he won't eat it in public. Let's put it like that. He may or may not at home because I don't
eat it on CNN.
Yeah, I don't do like. And I'm not sure if Biden eats Hormuzabzi either. Like, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
Know. Yeah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. We will all be fine. We will all be fine.
Okay, now tell me this. What's your favorite place to visit if you have one place you could go?
My bedroom. My bedroom is amazing.
Is the food good in there?
You know what?
Persian dishes.
Uber host the clubhouse meetup in your room.
In my bedroom, Sarah. Yeah. Slurpee, I don't know if I'm comfortable you asking me that question. I don't know if I'm comfortable.
There's a lot of CIA stuff going on here.
It's CIA stuff, plus with a name like Sarah Slurpee, like that just sounds like a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm good. I'm fine.
Wait, let the record reflect that we love Sarah.
Thank you.
I want her to know that. So.
You have to love Sarah. She's a wonderful human being.
She is.
I don't know. I might have to leave a bad review on your page.
You wouldn't be the
first one as we speak on Yelp.
Yo, how white are you?
She's Hispanic.
This is just going nowhere fast.
She's not ordering Persian on DoorDash. It's not.
Yeah, wow. Sarah doesn't like Hormuzabzi. Doesn't look like Sarah. And just to give you a picture of what Hormuzabzi is, it's like this green stew with beef, but the beef can be removed for all the vegans and vegetarians in Los Angeles. But it's like this stew and it's on rice. You put it on rice and it's absolutely delicious. It's just absolutely delicious.
Taking notes.
Yeah.
Is this cooked in your pressure cooker? And should we be afraid?
Yeah, it is a pressure cooker process, I believe. That's what's up, Sarah Slurpee. I like how you knew that.
Yeah, there's
been... The CIA knows all.
I know. She really did kind of know all. She was like, yeah, the Ayatollah ate that. Whoa. I didn't say anything.
Sarah's had some pressure being a guest co-host today, but she's doing great.
She is doing very good. For a guest co-host, she's a natural.
Oh, I agree.
I just don't want to be blown up with this rice cooking. You know, I'd rather just blow other things up, but it's another topic.
That's she's talking about Xbox there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not only was that sexual harassment, it was also racist. Like, because I'm Middle Eastern, half Middle Eastern, I blow stuff up. Like,
you're implying. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are implied. Jared, you're the only woke person.
I'm
the only woke person on the show.
A part of me was proud of Sarah for saying that, but then the other part of me, like, hurt for you, Teron. So it was,
I like that.
It was
that
a mix.
You have enough white guilt to know you should hurt. Thank you.
We can discuss this at Thanksgiving over our rice.
Yeah, over Hormuzabzi.
I hope that's the case.
If Jared cooks, it's going to be turkey with no seasoning.
Oh goodness!
Out of a tribute to you, we'll Uber Eats. So
yeah. By the way, I just want to let you all know, Jared. Paprika is not a seasoning. Just want to you can't just put paprika on stuff and be like, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah, if I had to guess paprika, that probably would have been my first guess. So I could tell.
I could already tell.
I purposely removed that question because I didn't want to go there. So thank you for bringing it up, Rob.
I already know. And are you allowed to judge me? No. Am I allowed to judge you? Yes.
And you should.
That's how the world works. I don't write the rules. I just read them, you know?
Fair enough.
Okay, Sarah?
Sarah, how are you? You good?
Yes.
How are you guys? Sarah, what advice would you give to aspiring comedians right now?
Right now is that key term, right? So before, I would tell every aspiring comedian to hit as many mics as possible. There's a secret to success in comedy, and it's practice makes perfect. The more you practice, the better you become, especially if you're getting good critical feedback from your peers and understanding and having self-awareness. Because some comedians go on stage and it's crickets and they come off, they're like, man, I just killed that. And you're like, were you at the same show I was?
Yeah, you killed it, all right.
Yeah, you killed the room. Like 20 people didn't walk out because they were tired. They just sat down. You're the first guy. So now I would go back to what Miss Christine was talking about and go to Clubhouse. Put your content out there. Content is king. Always be writing. Always be prepared. Because when the pandemic ends, and even though it seems like there is no end in sight, there will be. And when the world opens up again, we will need comedy more than ever. And with comedy, comedy is not a zero-sum game. It's not like I can only win if you lose and vice versa. We can all win. When you're walking at night and you look up in the sky and there's one or two stars in the sky, you don't look back up again. It's nothing to see. But it's when you walk at night and you look up and there's a sky full of stars. That's when you look up in awe. That's when you're just intrigued by the mysteries of the universe. That's how we can all be. We can all be stars in our own right, in our own lane. It is not a competition.
Teron, you've been very generous with your time. We appreciate that. Where can people connect with you, listeners that want to learn more about your upcoming shows or things that you're doing on social media? Where can they check that out?
Yeah, you can find me on the street begging for money, and because we're all going to be homeless soon. I'm going to be
at the red light with a sign, yeah, cardboard sign.
Okay. Cardboard sign will work for follows. So follow me at I am Teron, IamTeHran. I am Teron all across the board on all social media platforms. And my name is Tehran, like the capital of Iran. So if you don't know how to spell it, just watch Fox News. Eventually, okay, they will say my name at least twice a day.
Okay, Tehran, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I actually wanted to point something out about Miss Christine and your name. It's very interesting how a society that we denote the value of women by their relationship status, right? So if I was a kid and I had a teacher named Johnson, and this person was male, it would be Mr. Johnson. But if I'm a child and my teacher is female and Johnson, it depends on their marital status. So it's either Miss Johnson or Mrs. Johnson or Ms. Johnson. So it's like, you know what? I think from now on, you should just be Mr. Christine. And just let's just remove all stigma and just let you know, as a woman, your power is not in your relationship, but in thyself.
I don't know of any better way to end the podcast. That was well said. And even Sarah's nodding yes, I'm sure. on an audio-only podcast.
Yeah. Mr. Christine agrees.
Changing my to Mr. Sarah Slurpee on my own.
That's what I'm saying. And you see that? Jared, what I did was I got girls like that. That's how you do it. That is how you do it.
Yeah, you made them feel empowered. And that, you know, that's, what's that? The G.I. Joe slogan, that's half the battle. Is that what
That's half the battle. That's no one is guy, half the battle. G.I. Joe.
That's how the guy from 50 Shades of Grey did it. I read all three, four of those. I read them all.
For educational purposes. That's great.
Of course.
Research purposes.
Hey, I've read Twilight. I read everything.
You're a sensitive man. You've watched Twilight.
You read Harry Potter too, probably.
Of course I read Harry Potter.
Oh, no.
You can't put Harry Potter in that list, Christine. That's not even right.
I don't care. I didn't read any of those books.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Why do you
be quiet.
She grew up in West Philly. That's why.
Oh, yeah. You guys can't read.
I read books like How to Unfuck Yourself, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that is Harry Potter. That's what it's about.
Yo, how to un-F yourself.
You can learn that from
that. Like, that's what your teacher assigned you in Philadelphia. Like, hey, this is what you want.
Yeah, Harry Potter had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Teron, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All three of you, thank you so much. Sarah, Miss Christine, and of course, Jared. You guys are amazing.